if I think about what it means for me to try to arrange consonants and vowels to make pictures of this place, and try to associate with all the works of art I admire, or what seems to me worth thinking about in this world of atrocities and brilliant works and all the other things, I suppose it's to look at the, I don't know what word to use for it, I would say history or culture or everything that underlies the ordinary things that had meaning for me when I was a child. The meaning comes from somewhere, it comes from history. That sounds too heroic a word. But the very language in which I'm addressing you, you know, it's the product of rape, invasion, expropriation, its richness, immigration, in the case of many of us in the room. And everything, to put it in one phrase, is a beautiful, evocative ruin. That one of the traditions of poetry is you look at a ruin, and you think, ah, you know, once it was this, once it was that. Well, you know, the computer is a ruin, if you get what I mean. It thinks of us. It would be different if we had a different history. The way we've designed it, the way its insides work, the whole concept of it. And every object you look at is a color or a shape, or you see it a way that is comes from the past. And just as my body is the product of two people, but behind them four, and it's geometric progression. Then there's eight people just a couple of generations back. And you get into the thousands by the Renaissance, by Shakespeare's time. How ridiculous to anybody say, my ancestors, so on. Thousands, tens of thousands. We are indeed all cousins. So we're all a product of this immense fan behind you that comes down to this moment. You say, you're going to the party tonight? I don't think so, I'm going to study. It all is behind it. Just as my body has that ancestry, my words and my ideas and my objects have the ancestry, which is not to say that I'm not free. This is not a deterministic thought. I'm free to do things with it, but it is an immensity. It's a bigness behind everything. Never more than when I'm completely unaware of it. That's when it's most operative on me. I tried to think of an image to represent that immensity of good and bad things in time, and I thought of the lights of an immense city. If you're coming down in an airplane or if you're in a very high place, and every bulb is a human being that is either the literal ancestor of your body or the ancestor of your speech or your dress or your music. And it's the city dark. In the early winter dusk, the broken city dark seeps from the tunnels. Up towers and in gusty alleys, the mathematical veil of generation has lit its torches to light the rooms of the mated and unmated, the two fated behind you and four behind them in the matrix widening into the past, 8, 16, 32, many as the crystal dream cells illuminating the city. Even for those who sleep in the street, there are lights. Like a heavy winter sleep, the long flint cold of the past spreads over the glinting dream blisters of the city, asleep or awake, as if the streets were an image of the channels of time with 64, 128, the ancestral net of thousands only a couple of centuries back, with its migrations and fortunes and hungers, like an image of the city where the star-dispelling lights have climbed and multiplied over the tenements and outlying suburbs like a far past of multitudes behind us in the glistering web of strands crossing, thousands and tens of thousands of lives coupled with their gains, passions, misfortunes, somewhere in the tangled alleyways or rape. Somewhere a spirit diffused, wing-like, blind along the stretched wires branching the dark city air, or bundled under the streets, coursing surely to some one face like an ancient song. Do, re, re, la, sol, sol. Somewhere misfortune. Somewhere recognition. Back here, one died of starvation. Here, one thrived. Descendant, the bitter city work and the shimmering maternal burden of music uncoil outward on the avenues, through smoky bars, by televisions, beyond sleepers, while the oblivion of generation radiates backward and then forward, homeward, to the one voice or face, like an underground pool, through its delicate light shaft, moonlit, a cistern of light, echoing in a chamber cellared under the dark of the city pavement, the faintly glittering slabs. Ever since I was a kid, I've always loved the way the pavement has, I guess it's bits of flint in it, and at certain lights it glitter, and little kids go, laugh and giggling to pick them up. You know, everyone does. Any horror you can imagine happening in a city, or any horror you can imagine, so everyone has an ancestor who died of starvation, I'm sure. Just as everyone probably has an ancestor who was a king and a slave. And we're all the products of rape. I sometimes worry that people misunderstand when I use the word rape several times in these recent poems, that they think that I'm so sexually interested by it. I find it not at all interesting. I find it really a quite appalling idea. But it's interesting to me as an image of who we are. That one is the product of calamity. Some ethnic groups more recently than others, perhaps, or some families more recently than others. You know, if your grandmother lived through the Armenian nightmare, or whatever. But still, we all do share that. Just as in our ingenuity, that makes beautiful colors and music, that this light that comes here. The same ingenuity does produce germ warfare and interrogation of people when you put electrodes in their testicles or the fillings in their teeth. It's all our cleverness, just like the heroic couplet in Charlie Parker.